I'm now here in Tel Aviv with one of Israel's leading pollsters, Rafi Smith, who, as well as doing polls for the Israeli media, including the Maariv newspaper, is also the pollster for the Likud party for the last two elections in 2019, and also for this upcoming election in less than 2 weeks' time. Rafi, first of all, thank you very much. I'm sure you're extremely busy. Thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
If I can ask you first, I've got a few questions that kind of is asking you to predict the future, so I appreciate that it's not an exact science, but if anyone knows the answer to some of these questions, then I think you're best placed to answer. If I can start with the campaign, up until now, one of the key features of the campaign has been generally the voter apathy. What do you think are the trends are with regard to voter turnout, which could be very crucial come March the 2nd?
Well, I think that basically, it's not. I think people here are fatigued. It's a more, but at the end of the day, in Israel, most of the people, the turnout is high, is higher than the average in the Western, one of the highest in the Western world, and I think it will still be, it will still be there. The main thing about the turnout this time to look for is basically. Looks like that in the center left, they're actually what we call blue and white in the labor camp. The turnout was higher than the average in September, and or I would say the other way that in many places where the Likud and the right wing parties should have gained more votes, the turnout was lower than the average, and that is the reason why actually now both parties or both. Both groups are trying to emphasize or put a lot of efforts in the turnout, because if the Likud will manage or the right wing coalition will manage to increase the turnout in their basic group, then actually they should gain more votes. Okay, and I think the center and left are more concerned about keeping their turnout high and maybe get some votes from the right wing, even though basically people in Israel, we didn't see any big shifts, if at all, from the right wing to the left or from the left to the right.
So I was going to ask you about the shift. I mean, the numbers seem to be kind of, on a cursory reading, pretty stable for the last few months. Is there anything you think that is kind of in the next 2 weeks that can be a game changer, that can shift anything, especially in between the blocks?
Well, since April until today, there was never the coalition of Netanyahu, the right-wing party, and the Haredi, the Orthodox parties, never crossed the 60-61 seats. That is the aim of this election. Mainly, one of the reasons for that is that they're looking for that because they believe that, it looks like that Lieberman actually, the head of the Israel Beiteinu party, based on the right party, he decided to go more to the center left or to go anti Bibi. That's the big difference between now and April. In April, until the final results came out, it was 65 seats for the right, and suddenly Lieberman he decided that he will not join the government, and this is the reason why we are sitting here today. Okay, so. Actually, there was never 60 or 61 seats. The right coalition party never got, at least in the polls, to the 60-61 seat, and that's what they're looking for. So they're looking, actually trying to track people who haven't voted. And this is why they put their efforts there to increase their turnout and maybe try to move people who moved to Lieberman, who last election got 8 seats, mainly about 5.5 seats from its basic group, which is the Russian immigrants, and about 2-2.5 seats from what we call other Israelis, or not that those are immigrants. It's, you know, it comes out that, it, you know, 100,000, 150,000 people, if they come out more, or some of them, small groups make changes, let's say like the Ethiopian group, okay, or let's say the Arab votes. That's the main issue there. The turnout in the Arab bloc are potentially between 16 and 17 seats, and most of them, I would say 16 to 16 and a half seats of them, will go for the center bloc. So if that party, the Arab party, gets about let's say around 14 seats, which is now, that's, it seems like they have a chance to do that. You maybe increase one, they got 13 last election, now 14. That's, it could be that they will be there, I'm not sure, because it's very liquid there. But in any case, if they get that number and they give another two seats for the other Jewish parties, then they, then that manages that the group of blue and white Labour Party, Lieberman, who gets, they get about 51, 52 seats tonight, 50, 51 seats, another 14 there or whatever it is, that puts them over the 60. Mm-hmm. And that can give a chance, or that will be the block for the right block. Mm-hmm. That's basically the story. Because we are starting the election now. If you take out the Arab bloc, we're getting 55 for the, we're starting in 55 seats for the right-wing bloc, Likud, Yamina Party, and or the Religious Party, and the two Orthodox Party, it's 55 seats, and other bloc, which is the blue and white, Labour, and Lieberman, they're 52. So, you know, a shift of two or three seats each way makes the difference, okay, or makes it a bit different, makes the change. They need, basically, the story is to always look until the end, how much the Likud plus Yamina get? Okay, they got in the previous election 39 seats. Now they need to get at least 43, 44 seats, assuming that the Orthodox blocks, which is quite steady, they will get at least 16 to 17 seats. That's the whole story of the mathematics is all around. So we don't need big shifts, we just need some shifts that will change the picture. So it really, because it's so tied up, it actually comes out who on the it has a lot of things, a lot of merit to the turnout. And I will give you an example. In 2013, a low turnout of the Likud in the south, which is there's a lot of potential for the Likud in the south. They lost two seats. Okay, in 2015, the turnout in the south was like the average and even more. So they gained back their two seats or two and a half seats. So that's basically the story here. And I think one more thing, which is not a lot, but they don't talk a lot about, is there are two. Even though the security issue is always an issue in Israel compared to other places in the Western world, the economy issues, the cost of living is an issue, is a very important issue, which is rising in the last half a year, a year through the election. It's getting more stronger than before, and you can see that the both two parties are, one more thing, that they're aiming at there's about 20% of the people in Israel who declared themselves, define themselves as center right. In Israel, center right is more security issues than economy issues. And this is where they put the target. This is where the emphasis is. And that, and those people, also the cost of living is a very high factor in what in the end they're going to come and vote. So the last sentence I will say is, we know from previous elections, the last few elections in Israel, that about 15% of the people decided in the last two, 3 days of the elections, is one out of six at least, or seven, between six and seven people, they decide who they're going to vote for. So in some cases, it's not that they're all going to vote for one side, it's spread out, but in some elections it came out that, let's say, in 215, about 30-40%, about a third of the people who voted for Yesh Atid was the basic prayer founded by Yair Lapid. About 6-7 seats of the people who voted for him decided in the last two elections, in the last few days, to vote for him. Okay, in 2015, about 3 or 4 seats of the what we call the Religious Party, which was known as the Beit Yehudi, the Jewish Home, they decided in the last few days to vote for the Likud. Okay, so sometimes it's a strategic vote of a group. Well, if not, it spreads around, but yet to be seen. You know, it can But up until now, I would say the aim of it looks like it's, you know, everything is probable and possible. But it's a game of probable and possible. But it's not easy for the right to do the 60, 61 seats that they need. You know, we still have to find out if Benjamin Netanyahu has the magic.
If I can ask you specifically about Liebman's party, Israel Beiteinu, because as you say, kind of that's really the shift that this time last year or April last year, they broke with their traditional right-wing bloc.
Lieberman decided after the election.
Right.
You have to understand that his main voters, which voted for him in April, the Russian group, they are mostly right-wing voters.
Right.
Right-wing. They define themselves more right. He decided to change. He is a leader. Decided that they will not go with the government. Okay,
yeah.
for various reasons, and that actually changed the whole thing. Okay, so it's not that his supporters that pushed him. He decided for his supporters not to go with what they thought he would go before.
So that's thank you for clarifying. That's really my question. Kind of, are his voters with him if he takes that same approach? You know,
He got in the last election in September. He got about 35 to 40%. He got at least 5.5 to 6 seats, or about close to 40%, 35 to 40% of the Russian to vote for him. Okay, the Likud, it's a tie race there. The Likud got about 35. It's a tie race there. I have a mandate for Lieberman than the Likud.
So just to recap, we were talking about the strength of Lieberman's vote with his public, despite his pivot to the liberal center, as he likes to call it.
Well, actually, what he did is he took out an issue of the religion and state in Israel, which is a state, which is a issue was basically mostly local, and he raised it to be a national issue. We never in an election before that issue was that in front as before. It was never that. But what he did is actually, because of the people, a lot of the secular people in Israel, liberal people, say center left in Israel, are very aware, are very afraid of the growing power of the Orthodox.
Mm.
And so he actually figured out that this is a group which could be his potential vote for him, which came out in the end. He really made that issue. He knows that in the Russian compound, the Russian group, people don't like that. They don't like the Orthodox power. They are far away from that. And at the end of the, so this is why, that's what he actually went on. Or he changed his position, and went on more to that type, to a different way of looking at it. Because also, don't forget that this basic group are very elderly Russian immigrant, those that are about 55, 60. And they're, you know, as the saying goes, because of demography of life, their numbers go down.
Mm.
And if he looks at the horizon, he knows that he has to pick up again votes from veteran Israelis or the younger Israelis who are not Russians.
Mm.
So that's the way he's strategically moving towards, trying to attract them. And he succeeded by, in a sense, that he got about 2.5 seats from people who didn't vote for him in the previous election in April. That's the people who, some of them voted for him in September. So in that sense, he did well, or he read right the underground tension on that issue, which was seen in previous election in October election, in the municipal election in some places. He understood that this is something that he could move those voters to support him.
One group we haven't mentioned is the Jewish home group, Otma Yehudit.
Yeah.
And we've seen reports in the Israeli media. First of all, it doesn't look like they're going to cross the threshold.
I agree.
But we've seen the campaign of the Likud to either persuade them to lead, or the rumors that they will ask kind of certain sects of rabbis, either Zionist National Religious or sects within the ultra-Orthodox world, to kind of at the last minute to support them, to ensure they get over, to help the right-wing bloc. Is that credible? And where do you think they will poll in the end?
Well, I think you need about 100. It depends on the, of course, on the turnout. But in the last two elections, you need about 140,000 votes, around that number, 130, 140, to cross the threshold. I think they are not there. They got 84,000 last previous election. I think, you know, at the end of the day, a mandate he will probably get, okay, or which is about 30,000, 40,000 votes. He can get to cross, you know, you need 1%, or you need a number. By the way, you need 1% of the votes in order to get you get money from the country, okay, to help you out. But in any case, if you put that aside, it looks like, you know, in many cases, the problem with Otzma Yehudit is not the 2nd of March. It's next week's polls and the end of the week. Mm. Okay? My assumption is at this point that, as far as I know, the polls will show that he's not crossing. And this is the one thing that actually happens in most of the cases where a small party like that, most of the polls, or at least in the big media, will come out and they will show that he's far away. He's not doing it. He's not close to 325%, which you need. They will actually, at the end of the day, will probably change their vote, it will come true. Okay. So his problem is not the 2nd of March. His problem is next week. Okay. I think everything is probable in life. Okay. But I don't. It looks like at this point, I would say that his chances of getting the numbers that he needs are not there.
So do you think he'll pull out in the end?
I don't think so. Because I think, you know, you could be very cynic, okay, and say that once, as I told you before, if you get 1% of the vote, you get at least more than 100 shekel, or million shekels, okay? You get more than a million shekels from the country, okay, from the campaign. So once you get that money, you can run your party after the election. You have enough money to run the institution. Okay,
Rafi, thank you very much indeed. That was really, really, really very interesting, and we will watch your numbers. Thank you very much.